Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Today's episode brings us this kick-ass couple, Kristen Granger and Dan Wetzel, who took their passion for music and their love for each other to form the bluegrass-leaning Americana powerhouse of terrific songwriting, lush vocals, and crazy good instrumentalists in their band, True North. Kristen Granger is lead singer, chief songwriter, and co-founder with Dan of Americana string band, Kristen Granger and True North. As a nationally recognized songwriter, she wrote their first number one single, Ghost Tattoo, in 2020. She's won and been a finalist in several of the nation's most prestigious songwriting contests, including Telluride Bluegrass Festival, Wildflower, and Merlefest. Alongside Dolly Parton and Brandi Carlile, she was named one of the women who wrote our 2020 soundtrack by the Bluegrass Situation. In addition to her work as a performing artist, she has served as vice president of Willamette University and written speeches for two Oregon governors, three university presidents, and an Oregon attorney general. Dan Wetzel provides direction and leadership for True North, the band he co-founded with Kristen, and produces the band's recordings. Three of their albums have hit number one on folk radio charts. He has earned considerable recognition as a singer-songwriter and toured nationally as a solo artist after winning a national songwriting contest. An accomplished multi-instrumentalist, Dan has superb skills with guitar, both flat pick and fingerstyle, mandolin, and octave mandolin. His multifaceted musical skills and techniques help give True North songs their driving groove. When not on stage, Dan designs and builds beautiful instruments that they and other musicians use in performance. In today's recap edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast episode recapping Dan and Kristen Granger's interview.
Yeah, Dan Wetzel and Kristen Granger. Man, I almost was like a little nervous, Kim, talking to these two performers. They're on stage all the time. They've gotten awards, singer-songwriters. Dan makes his own instruments. And what a cool couple.
Yeah, they were definitely kick-ass. I think it's important to note that this was a second relationship for both of them. But coming into this relationship, they were both very guarded, but ready, because I think they both really had some time prior to meeting each other to really identify and set markers for what they wanted in a next relationship.
Yeah, it was great because this is an example of someone who they both said we kind of had false starts, right?
Exactly.
And so they both were super intentional about wanting to create what they want in all areas of their life, not just in their relationship personally, but also in their profession. And what a cool example. Dan used to be a contractor, and then he came into music. And, you know, Kristen's done some stuff on her own, and they wove it together. And they're another great example of a couple that works together full time and obviously coexist together, and they've built a beautiful family, and they make literally some beautiful music.
They do. They really do. And I think it's interesting that we've interviewed several couples lately who have a business together, and as well as obviously have a personal relationship together. And I think that one of the things in this relationship that really stood out to me that made them kick ass is that they're able to manage that partnership, right? But they also are interested in meeting in the middle with regard to activities and interests that they both have. And so an example that they used was golf. Kristen hadn't played golf. She didn't know the first thing about golf. But because it was so important to Dan and something that he absolutely, truly loved, if she was going to be able to do it with him, she needed to take some lessons and she needed to learn. So I love the fact that she was willing to be open to that. And I think that what makes couples kick ass is, in many cases, their willingness to meet in the middle.
Yeah, meet in the middle. And I think you learn to love what they love.
And appreciate it.
And instead, you can make a decision. You can say, hey, you know, I don't like that. I'm out. Don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe on some things you can. But if there's a passion and a love, then don't you want to learn a little bit about what your spouse, your partner is passionate about and what they love so you can experience it with them? And I think, you know, Kim, I can think of a couple things in our relationship that we've been able to do that on and enjoy together. Find the joy in someone else's enjoyment, right?
And, absolutely.
And because the overriding principle in their relationship is they love to be together. Mm-hmm. They're another couple who are jealous for each other's time.
They are.
And so the fact that they're together outweighs what the activity is or what it is that brings them together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important.
Definitely. Want to talk a little bit about their history. They didn't really see a lot of love demonstrated in their families when they were growing up. And I think that that really helped them to be able to acknowledge and realize that that's something that we don't want to bring forth in our next relationship, and taking the time to really lay out what were some of the good things that they took from their relationships with their family and then some of the negative things. And one of the things that hit home with me that Kristen talked about was in her family, her parents took on very traditional roles of the father is out working and had a busy medical practice, and mom took primary responsibility for the home. And neither of them crossed into the other's domain. So they really kept those things separate. And Kristen said, you know, when I get married and when I begin to raise a family, I want to be united in this front. I want to be able to share parental responsibilities and do some of those things together.
Yeah, it's kind of a generational shift. Doesn't always happen that way, but they both had those typical nuclear families, you know, husband, wife. I think, you know, the male in both those examples was the primary breadwinner and the mother was working full time in the home. And I think that that structure, you know, can breed a lot of things. And they said, you know, we want to do it differently. I think similar to you and I. And, you know, we share and there's a partnership and there aren't things that I go, oh, well, that's not my department. I don't do that. And I think it's the same for you. We certainly have focuses and things that we dominate maybe or do more of in our relationship. But I really like the fact that they were intentional about creating that. And I think they both had good relationships. And the one thing they said they both want to do is be better expressors mm-hmm. to their children and each other of demonstrable love.
Right. And I think they didn't get a lot of that in growing up, and that they wanted to be able to have that with their own families, being able to say, I love you, and be comfortable with it, being able to give hugs and kisses and just really showing affection for one another.
And I think it's another stellar example. We've talked about this before, and I think it bears repeating, is your relationship is negotiated, right? It's an agreement. You both come from backgrounds and experiences, and you get to decide together, not unilaterally, not independently, but together, how you're going to bring the good and bad forward to create the best thing for the two of you. And some of those things, you know, usually the issues arise or the problems or challenges arise when we each experience something that is a trigger or reminds us of, oh, I don't want that, or it's, this is heading down something I don't really like from my childhood or I experienced. And so having those conversations and being intentional about it, they did a fantastic job of it because it gave them the life they want. And they were intentional about creating those things in their families as well.
Yeah. And this couple is super committed to each other. Dan stressed that commitment, their commitment is all encompassing. They're always creating time to spend together. Fun and humor is important in their relationship. They are making music together. So they spend a lot of time working on that foundation of commitment.
They do. And in commitment, I think Dan said something like, he said, the commitment they have for each other manifests or represents itself in 1,000 different ways. Mm. So commitment is not, I do one thing and I'm committed, or I do two things or three things. But he said, commitment is all over their relationship because there's 1,000 ways about him and Kristen that they express and demonstrate it in their work, in their music, how they act to each other. And a really cool thing that he shared that they do on their anniversary is they don't give each other gifts, but what they do in their anniversary is they each write a letter to each other over the last year of the things they saw presented and represented and how they experienced their partner, things they're grateful for. And they give the letter to their partner, and then they're together and their partner reads the letter out loud.
Yeah.
So Dan gets to hear his letter written out loud by Kristen and vice versa. They said they always bring lots of Kleenex because there's tears. But what a great tradition. And here's a tool, right?
Yeah,
here's a
they're tool. On number 21, by the way.
Yeah, 21 years of marriage, and they've done this for 21 years. And man, you want to talk about creating some incredible memories. I just love that. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now.
Yeah, and Kristen shared with us that commitment she felt like is something that she wants to do, not something that she has to do. And I thought that was an important thing to note because so many of us just go through the motions and do it and feel like we have to do it. And oh my gosh, here I go again. And that really is not what commitment is all about. We have to want to do it, yearn to do it, look forward to doing it.
Yeah, commitment is not an obligation. It's not a noose on your neck. It's not something that should be heavy
something
or
oppressive.
Something we get to do. Yeah, I get to. And just think of the difference when you say, I have to versus I get to. So hopefully you're saying more the I have to. And another thing, Kim, on commitment, before we leave that topic that I just loved about these guys, is they said, in no uncertain terms, does anybody look at their relationship, how they are together, and wonder, A, if they're husband and wife, or B, if they're committed to each other. So the way they relate, the way they work, the way they raise their kids, the way they communicate, it all dictates and shows clearly to anybody watching, we are without a doubt committed to each other. So they're demonstrating it, and it's palpable and tangible.
And I believe that in regard to communication, they have some really unique ways of communicating with each other. They write songs for each other, which is super special. And they intentionally spend a lot of time together, taking walks together, holding hands. They create time to be
working
together
in the garden.
Yeah.
Right? Playing
they
golf.
They even have these two chairs in their homes that they call Archie and Edith chairs. And they make time for each other, sitting in those chairs, having a morning cup of coffee, every single day.
Yeah, that's a throwback for our listeners that might be younger. There was a show called All in the Family with Ardeth and Ichi Bunk. Ardeth? Oh my gosh.
It's a tongue twister.
With Archie and Edith Bunker.
There you go.
All in the Family, two easy chairs, lazy boys, you know what I mean? A little table. And they would sit in those chairs and have conversations about everything. And so Kristen and Dan do that as well. And, you know, Kim, about communication, she said, you know, you talked about being in the bubble, right? And she said, you know, when we're not in the bubble, she goes, something feels off and it's wrong. She said, it's more like, I can't find you. I don't know where you are because there's something bothering you, or we're not in sync. We're not communicating and connected. And she said, I got to find them and make sure we reconnect and we pull back to that bubble where we're in touch and we're in tune with each other. And I really like that.
Yeah, they kind of have their own lingo of, you know, being able to express to each other, are we in the bubble? I'm not feeling like we're in the bubble. We're out of the bubble. And I love how they use that.
Yeah. And then kind of moving on to conflict resolution, I think both of them had some great things to say. And, you know, most people say, oh, we argue about this, we argue about that. But Dan had kind of an interesting take on that.
He did. He said, you know, I don't believe couples have a lot of arguments. I believe they just have one argument and they have that same argument over and over again. And that argument manifests itself in different ways. And most of that is a result of fear. So I appreciated those words because I do think that a lot of our arguments do come out of fear.
Yeah, it's a fear of, will they really love me for the way I am or the way I am now, right? And you need that affirmation. You need to hear from your partner continually, probably more often than we all realize, that they love you, they care for you, just the way you are, just where you are, you know, scars and ugly warts and all. And you know, you got to give those affirmations and make sure that you're not getting stuck in attaching those things to somebody, but saying, hey, I love you and accept you. And I'm going to tell you that. And I think, you know, Kristen grew up in a really competitive family. She had, what, five brothers and sisters?
Yeah. They were competing about everything all day.
Yeah.
Always a competition.
And their dad was a real successful surgeon, I think, in the medical field. And to impress her dad, she said, you had to do something amazing. So there was kind of competition to win dad's approval and, you know, a lot of win-lose thinking. And she said, you know, they kept score. Who's to blame? Who's responsible? And she said, wow, I want to make sure that that's not entering into our relationship. But one thing she learned out of all that, she said, if you feel you have to win an argument, then it's the death of intimacy. And that is so true. You know, in How to Handle Conflict, we had this in one of our webinars lately, hearkening back to another interview. And what was shared with us from Beverly and Tom Rogers, he said a great way to get out of an argument or to stop it in its tracks is to look at your partner and say, honey, you might be right. Because it's not about winning or losing and seizing the day, but it's about that understanding and making sure that you keep that intimacy alive by not feeling that your opinion, your thought, your preference has to win the day. And I thought that was just really good stuff to think of. And Kristen shared that was a great lesson she learned and that she's brought forward to their relationship today.
Yeah. Well, I hate to give away too much more. This was such a great interview. And I think the very best part was the last part where you asked if they would play either a chorus or a little riff for us. And so I hope that our listeners will go back and listen to this episode and interview in its entirety because it's well worth it.
It's so well done. I mean, Dan pulled a guitar off the shelf, one that he had made. And it was a song that Kristen wrote. She sang, he played, and man, True North. Kristen Granger and True North is the name of their band. Check them out. Listen to the podcast. And, you know, an ending thought Kristen shared when we were talking and kind of winding down is that we all have compatibility, but we have totally different skill sets. She's good at things that Dan is not as good at, and he's great at things that she has no idea how to approach. And it's not about being the same to be compatible, but it's about magnifying the good in each other. So how are you magnifying the good in each other today? go back and listen to this interview. It's a lot of fun. They're so talented. Check out their tunes on Spotify, Christian Granger and True North. And remember,
happily ever after doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again soon.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen. It's on purpose.